Before I pray for the service today, if you're a dad, would you stand up? If you can. You don't have to if you can. Stand up. I would like all the dads to stand up today because I just want to first thank you. You are the reflectors of Jesus to your families. And we could not do it without you guys. Let me just pray. Well, let's pray for our dads today that God would just anoint them with a fresh heart to reflect Jesus to their kids, their grandkids, or whatever, to be the reflectors of Jesus. Let's pray for our fathers. Lord, I just right now pray, Lord, for all the dads here. And Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, when I think of my dad. I just pray, Father, that you empower them this year in a fresh and new way by your Spirit to show Jesus to their kids. We pray, Lord, that you would do that inner work by your Spirit, that you would just empower them and anoint them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes, happy Father's Day. Is there anyone here who, when they answer their phone, you look at it, you don't recognize the number, you don't want to answer, but sometimes the curiosity gets you, and you answer the phone, and it's a salesperson. They come on all friendly like they know you. They almost kind of convince you, like feel like you know the person, and they go into this whole sales pitch. They may try to sell you something. Maybe they're your cell phone provider. And they say, oh, you've been with us. You've been such great customers. And we want to give you this upgrade. And they go out talk about this new phone that you'll get if you upgrade and all this. And you're just like, by the time you're done with that conversation with them, it's not so much a want, but you almost feel like, I need this thing. I recall years ago when a sales guy came and was like, knocked on our door. We're in Colorado Springs. And what was he trying to sell? He was one of those vacuum cleaner guys, sales guy. He came to our house with the Kirby vacuum cleaner. Guys, does anyone have that happen? Come to your door, Kirby? Yeah, Kirby vacuum cleaner. I don't even know if we even had kids at that point. At least if we did, they were very young. And he came in and did that demo. Remember that demo? Okay, get your vacuum cleaner and do this spot. And you take your vacuum cleaner and you really vacuum it good. Then they take the Kirby vacuum cleaner and they have this, they put it right on that same spot and you see all that junk that your vacuum cleaner could not get up. But if you have this Kirby, your house will be spotless. I think we've all experienced that. And what really gets you hooked when that salesperson comes into your house is when they talk about all the things in your bed. Right? Remember how what they say, experts say that if your mattress is over 10 years old, that approximately has 10 pounds of dead skin? Ew! Gross! I mean, I don't even want to think about that, right? Did you know there's another article I came across this week that said a typical mattress may have 100,000 to 10 million mites inside? These little creatures, I think from the arachnid family, that eat your dead skin in your mattress. Doesn't want to make you, I wish I had the money right now just to throw away my mattress and buy a new one. So after you go through and you get that whole sales pitch from this guy, they say, oh, how much is this Kirby? Oh, I need this Kirby. I need to get that stuff out of my bed. Oh, it's only $200. At that time, it was like $25 to $3,000. Oh, yeah, right. But, well, you know, we do have this promo going on. Now, we won't make any money, but if you do this promo, it was, I forget, like $900. Well, we were suckers and we got one. I think we've all experienced some salespeople that really are good at what they do. You know, years ago, it was not a phone salesperson, but we got this invitation to go to a timeshare. Has anyone ever done that? Whoa, you come out for a hotel night. And of course, for me, I'm thinking, and that was before we had kids. Like, woohoo, free hotel. We'll just do 90-minute thing and we'll get out of there. Right? You know what I mean? It's like free. So we go up, and it was in near Vail, Colorado, and we go up. The hotel was so-so, but it is a hotel, away with you and your wife. That's great. So we go to there. Then we go to where the timeshare is. And it's, I think it was like the Marriott. They show you these rooms, and the room that you were just in was nothing. But you go into this room. Immaculate. It looks like something you see on like the movie stars go. It's just beautiful rooms. And you could get this room. And not only will you get this room, it's real. At that time, it was like a real estate. You are purchasing real estate that you could pass on to your kids. It's an investment. And you could buy every year, a week for every year, or a week every other year. And they went this whole sales pitch. And the guy we were dealing with, he had a folder because he has a timeshare. And he says he uses this credit card. And every time he uses this credit card, he gets points that goes towards another hotel room. And not only that, is he could swap out his timeshare, and it was a 5-star timeshare, so he could go anywhere, other 5-star hotels in the world, and use that week instead if you want to. And my wife and I are looking at, oh, we don't want this. We need this. And as we go up through that whole sales pitch, and we're thinking, okay, we can never hardly ever afford to go on vacations anyway. Let's do it. So we signed up. Well, thank goodness he had the 3-day mourning period. God was not giving us peace. We went home, and my wife goes, I had a hard time sleeping last night. So we called, and we canceled it. Thank goodness. Thanks goodness. But, you know, one other item that really caught me, and I don't know, it wasn't a sales pitch on this one, but you guys ever come across that blender called, it's the Vitamix blender. My parents had one, just like they had a KitchenAid that's been lasting 20 years or whatever. This was a Vitamix. And I remember my parents had one. And besides tools, I'm not a huge, like, I want this thing. Not as much as my wife wants things, right? And one year I wanted that Vitamix. It's like a blender on steroids. You put raspberries in this thing and blend it, and it gets rid of the seeds. You don't eat this. You don't drink the seeds. It's an incredible blender. You put wheat in it, flour comes out. I remember one time making soup, and you put soup in it, and because it goes so fast and there's so much friction in it, the soup is almost steaming by the time you dump it out of the Vitamix. I had to have this Vitamix. And I remember I went to my wife, and I was trying to figure out how we could afford to get one, because they're not cheap. They could range from, if it's on sale, from $300, and if you go to the top ones, they go way up beyond that. And I thought, honey, we could do on payments. 3-month payments they'll do through Vitamix. My wife's like, I don't feel good about that, which I'm glad she didn't feel good about it. And I was just, that day, I was so bummed. It's one of those things I got my heart set on. I don't know why. That doesn't happen that often. But my wife said, Reed, I'll tell you this. If you get a gift card from Deepwater, I'll let you get a Vitamix. Because when I was doing heating and air conditioning, if I would go into homes that were flooded, because they wanted to check your furnace, I'd walk in there and it was flooded. If I could get this company to come in and go through the insurance and they do the work in this home, then they'd write me a check or they'd give me a gift card for $350. And I was like, okay. She said, well, if I get that. That Sunday we talked about it, I think it was that Monday, I'm working, I come across this thing. I'm like, yes. So she calls me, Reed, where are you at? I'm wondering how my day was going. I go, I'm picking up my, at that time it was a gift card, I think. I'm picking up my gift card from, you know, Deepwater. And she goes, okay, we'll go get your Vitamix tonight. We went and got my Vitamix. But we've all been sold things. Things that we wanted, things that we felt like we needed by the time we went to purchase those things. We were sold something that was, we thought could change our lives in an incredible way. Well, last week, and I'll come back to the whole sales thing in just a minute, last week, I posed this question. is Jesus enough? If he was to come and he was to take something away in our lives, something we value, maybe it's our job, maybe it's our health, that we've been a very healthy person, and for some reason that thing in our life was removed from us, would Jesus be enough? Or is our identity and who we are so tied up in that thing, if that was taken away, we'd be lost? But there's also another question I think that needs to be answered. Why is Jesus enough? Why should Jesus be enough? Why should I place my life completely within his hands? Why should I present my present situation? Why should I present my struggles? Why should I present my entire future in this person of Jesus? Because for Jesus to be enough to us, we must be convinced with 100% certainty and conviction that he is more than able to meet our needs. Is Jesus sufficient? And let's be honest with ourselves. Many times our lives do not reflect that truth. If I was to ask you, is Jesus sufficient? Is Jesus enough? I bet you most of you guys would raise your hands. But the question is are you reflecting that truth in your everyday life? Or is it this kind of fantasy belief that we as Christians have? We kind of think, okay, yes, Jesus is enough, but you don't experience him being enough in your life. You say he's Lord and Savior, but is he the Lord and Savior of your life? You say he will guide you. Are you allowing him to guide you? Is he enough? When an unexpected bill comes into the mail and you're anxious because of your financial situation, is Jesus enough? Do you believe, as it says in one passage we've used, was Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Is he sufficient? Is he enough? Or maybe you lose your job. Or maybe even something changes unexpectedly in your life. I was talking to Doug as we were all disappointed with the whole Noah situation on Friday. And because I've been pondering the subject of Jesus being all sufficient and all we need, I just talked to Doug. Doug was saying, oh man, I wish it would have worked out. He was talking about some reasons that we wished it was worked out. And me not trying to be spiritual, but just because this subject was on my mind, I looked at Doug and I said, you know what? If we truly believe in the sense that God is sovereign, how do we know it was not his plan to change the date from here to there? Think about it. If we truly believe, so many times I'm on the earthly plane believing. But do we believe that maybe the doctor had a bad night and maybe she would have fumbled and did something and God's like, no, I'm going to move it right here. Do we believe that? I kind of believe that. We need to look at, is Jesus sufficient? Is he enough and involved in our lives? Or are there barriers in our life? Are these misconceptions of Jesus? Maybe there's sin that's separating us from a deeper walk with Christ. Or maybe we've just lost sight in this world. We've been banged up. We've been hurt. And we've lost sight of the sufficiency of Jesus Christ in our lives. In a way, just like I talk about sales, maybe we need to be sold Jesus in a fresh way. Maybe we need to come to that place where it's not a want, but a need. We need to be soldiers in such a way that we will do anything to get to that place where he can become our all-sufficient provider, our all-sufficient guide with Jesus. Why do we need Jesus? Why is Jesus worth everything? we need to be sold Jesus in a fresh way. And to do this, we will begin a study through the book of Colossians. One of the overall themes of this book is the sufficiency of the person and the work of Christ. Like a salesman, we see Paul lays out the powerful sales pitch for Jesus in this book. Paul, who writes this book, has never went to Colossae Church. Yet Epaphras, a fellow servant of Christ who planted the church, had come to Paul reporting about false teaching that was coming into the church. So Paul, from prison in Rome, writes this passionate letter reminding them of Jesus, the work and the sufficiency of Christ. John MacArthur said this about Colossians. He said, Paul writes to the Colossians because they are intimidated. They are intimidated by people who are telling them that Christ was not sufficient. Christ was not adequate. Christ was not enough. They needed to have rationalism. It was Christ plus intellectualism. It was Christ plus philosophy. It was Christ plus ceremonies and laws and rules and rituals. And it was Christ plus mystic experiences, encounters with angels. And it was Christ plus self-denial, self-abnegation, self-affliction, self-mutilation. They were intimidated. So Paul writes this epistle to them. It's Christ plus nothing. And to show the lie of those heresies. And there's a slide, if you have that. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Do you truly believe that? Do you believe it? See, it is my prayer that as we journey through this book, that our hearts would be sold with Jesus in a fresh way. We need Jesus. And I ask you guys this week to begin to pray as you're praying in your own quiet time, this simple prayer. Father, I want to know Jesus. And begin as we go through this series that you make that commitment. Oh, that's a long prayer. That's going to take a long time to pray every day. Lord, Father, I want to know Jesus. Because if we want to know the Father, we get to know Jesus. Because when we know Jesus, we know the Father. And it is my goal each week to also post the passage that I will be talking about so we can read it before you come to church. You're wondering, oh, what should I be reading in the Bible? Well, let's begin to read Colossians together, and I'll give you that passage, and we'll discuss that passage the following week. And I also ask you, if you are reading that passage and God speaks to you in a special way, that you let me know that so we can set up for you to be able to share a clip of what God is doing in your life. Just imagine what would happen. One, we pray as a church to know Jesus. We're reading His Word to get to know Jesus. We're sharing about what Jesus is doing in our lives. I believe it could change and transform our lives. Because if Jesus is truly sufficient and we begin to dig into Jesus, if we believe what James says, draw near to God and He will what? Draw near to you when we pursue Jesus. And I'll tell you what, this book is for everyone. If you don't know Jesus very well, this is a great book to discover Jesus. If you kind of walk with Jesus for a while, it's a great book to become lay a better foundation. But maybe you've been walking with Jesus for a long time. You need to be sold Jesus in a fresh way. It is our pursuit and journey in life to know Jesus. And we will never, if you think you're there, well, then you're not. For he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. You need to be careful. But there's one caution I would like to ask of you guys today. Maybe you're not used to reading verse by verse through Scripture. Maybe you're one of those people that like just read a little portion and you open your book. Or maybe you're one of those, Lord, lead me. When and you do that, and then you come to Leviticus, and you, well, what did God say to me, right? I mean, I don't know how you spend time in the Word. But if you are not used to reading verse by verse, this is one caution I want to ask you to do this today. The purpose of going through Colossians is to get to know the work and the power of Jesus Christ, His sufficiency. So if you're reading verse by verse through this book, don't get snagged up on things you do not understand. You ever do that? You're like, oh, you want, you're going, oh, how excited. But somehow the enemy could come in and get you caught up in things you don't understand. When you read this book, read it. If you come across something you don't understand, don't get caught up. Just keep reading. And when you come across Jesus, focus on that passage. And when you read the section about talking about Jesus, focus on that section. Don't get caught up unless you like to get caught up and it's not going to hinder you. Like, I imagine Doug here would love to take those eight verses, look up the Greek, look up the details, but for him, he fills himself up doing that. But some of us want to be that way, and we aren't. If you try to do that, when you're going through verse by verse, it's overwhelming, and it takes away the joy of reading and hearing from God. So the caution I ask of you today, if you do this, to go through this book, that you would go, and the primary focus is to focus on Jesus. And if God speaks to you, send me a text, and I'd love to meet with you and talk about what He's saying to you, so we could begin a journey together through this book to discover the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. So next week, if you put that slide up, we will be going next week through Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Do you have that slide? Oh, right there. Oh, yes, he even made it cooler than I sent him. I sent him one. I was trying to make it up. Cool. That's what we'll be reading, going through, and discussing next week. Colossians 1, verses 1 through 8. But I have a question here. How many here, when they go out to eat, we won't with Doug and Crystal, when you go out to eat in a restaurant, like to get appetizers before you eat? Everybody here likes to get appetizers? No? Well, Julie can't eat anything, so don't ask her right now. Okay. But not too long ago, my wife and I went out for an anniversary meal. And, you know, of course, we would pick a place that we normally can't afford, right? Because you want to do something that's nicer on your anniversary. And we went to a place called, and I would promote it, not that they have, man, they should give me some money for this, but okay. It was called Butchertown Grocery. It was an old butcher, I guess it used to be a place where they sold meat and all that years ago. It's called Butchertown Grocery. You need to do reservations. Don't try to go on a Friday night or unless you want to wait for 2 hours. So we got a reservation. I did an early one. Okay, let's just do it early. So we got in about 5 o'clock before the crowd and they let us in. We got an appetizer. Even now, oh, it was a good appetizer. On this appetizer, there was melted garlic, butter. I mean, to me, those are the most awesome combination. Butter, garlic. Then it was sprinkled with Parmesan cheese that was melted into the top of it. And then you take this small little spoon and you'd scoop out the yummy escargot. Oh, snails. But you know what? I bet you, if you didn't know it was snails, if I could sneak out and put it in a plate and doctor it up, maybe if you have a really hard time for a little bit of texture, you'd be like, man, that's good. Because we spent, and I think we may have even asked for more bread because the sauce was so good, we kept dipping until there's not hardly anything left in that dish. These delicious snails. But you know what? I want to just give an appetizer to the book of Colossians. And I went through some verses I just want to read to you. Some of the key verses that stuck out to me in Colossians to prepare us for this journey. We like appetizers for a restaurant. Now here's an appetizer of some of the passages that we will begin to discover Christ in and discover more of His sufficiency. And here is the first verse here. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Colossians 1:19. For in him, which is Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Colossians 1:22. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Colossians 1:27. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 2:3 says this, in whom, and this is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:9 says this, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Colossians 2:17 says, these are the shadow things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Colossians 3:3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then the last passage, Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And I hope as we read through some of those verses that there's a yearning and longing for those, the truth in those verses to become a present reality in our own life and experience. Aren't you sometimes tired of just going through the motions of Christianity instead of through the life transformation power of it? I don't know about you. I'm tired of just playing church instead of being the church. And the other night I woke up about 4:30 in the morning. And I was thinking about this whole sufficiency of Jesus. And I just really been looking at my own life and analyzing things in my own self. The seven I ams of Jesus came to my mind. And I looked at the seven I ams in reference to the sufficiency of Christ. And just listen to this. When we hunger and thirst for something that will satisfy us, did not Jesus say, I am the bread of life? When we feel that we are lost in darkness, did not Jesus say, I am the light of the world? When we seek to be saved from judgment and we're searching for eternal life, did not Jesus say, I am the door? When we seek guidance and wisdom in life's decisions, did not Jesus say, I am the good shepherd? When we groan and yearn for heaven and to be in God's presence, did not Jesus say, I am the resurrection, I am the life? When we try to live a life pleasing to God, did not Jesus say, I am the true vine? If we have the worship team come forward. It is my prayer, you guys, that we, our lives would be set on fire through the Holy Spirit for Jesus. Do you know what the work of the Holy Spirit, one of the primary functions of the Holy Spirit is what? To glorify Jesus. And it is my prayer as we go through the study together that we would be fired, we'd be sold on Jesus in a fresh way. that we'd be tired of pretending, thinking, okay, I think Jesus is here. I think he's my provider. I think he's enough. But you find out in your reality he hasn't been because you haven't experienced him in that way. Jesus is sufficient. He's all you need. Do you want that in your life? And I ask you to begin to pray, Father, I want to know Jesus. Father, I want to come back to my first love, where everything I am, when I wake up that morning, Jesus is on my mind. I recall years ago when my mom was alive, and you know, she shared her testimony of she was reading this book as she was a Mormon, searching for Jesus. And she was led to this book called Beyond Ourselves by Catherine Marshall. And she said when she read that book, it was like physically her eyes were open. And she said physically everything became bright. And she became consumed with Jesus. And as you guys know, some of you guys know the story. They left and ended up leaving the Mormon church. But what really did it was because she became consumed in Jesus. Where are you at today? Have you lost sight? Have you lost sight? Maybe you've never experienced Jesus in that way, and you're like, I want that. Lord, I need you to be like a sales guy to me. I need it in my life. As we worship today, will you pray that prayer? Jesus, Father, I want to know Jesus. I need to know that you're sufficient for everything so I can trust you. Let us worship God.